News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Bray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 25th of September, Anno Domini 2005, and you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Dan Cole.
And we'll be bringing you all kinds of interesting stuff. This week, we're going to talk about identity theft and Google's free Wi-Fi network. Massachusetts gets Microsoft mad at them. New cell phones. It's going
to
be fun.
Yeah, and I'd like to also, if we have the time, due to calls and that, talk about these great offers that folks are hearing about removing spyware for a ridiculous price.
Yeah.
Got to rant about those that.
We'll talk about those too. Let's start off talking about identity theft. Now, of course, you can join us. It's pretty easy to do. If you're in the 585 area code, call 222-1180. If you're outside the 585 area code, that's 800-295-1180 on the Choice One toll-free line. And if you're a Verizon Wireless customer, it's a free call at star 1180. So you have no excuse not to call in and join in the fun. Let's start with identity theft. Identity theft is a big problem these days.
Big time.
You read about it everywhere. The folks at Frontier, God bless them, they've been sponsoring a series of seminars with us.
We did an identity one.
Last Friday night, actually, 2 days ago, I was at the Rochester Radio Repeaters Association. I gave a talk to those folks. Great. Let me talk about that for a minute. You know,
what is radio repeaters?
That's a lovely question. They're ham radio operators. They're radio enthusiasts, and they're ham operators. And a repeater picks up your signal and moves it on to the next repeater. So you can, like, with your little handheld set, you can talk to somebody in China.
Yep.
So it's actually very cool, and they do all kinds of interesting things. But you want to talk about, it's things like this that remind me how we have to stand back and explain things. Because they were talking about stuff I was completely lost.
And ham radio has been around for, 100 years?
100 years. 100 years. I had...
Wasn't Marconi or Tesla?
It was Tesla. Tesla has the patent. The United States patent on radio is in Tesla's name, not Marconi.
Marconi just put the box together, maybe.
Marconi was the first guy to make it commercially successful. Tesla didn't really care about commercially successful. Once he created it, he was done. He moved on. It was fun.
What always used to make me, Rochester used to have the Ham Fest. I don't know if that's still going on.
Another year or two.
Yeah. Well, they used to go around, and it used to always slay me because we had a table there for Computer Club. And the ham operators, they'd have their handhelds.
Yeah.
And they're going around talking to each other.
In the
same building.
Yeah. All these guys Friday night had little handheld hams. They were talking live to each other. That was all right. But it was a lot of fun. I had a great time. They were great people. But we talked about identity theft. And the big thing is there's a new startup out now, and Steve will have this this URL up in a few minutes. It's called Delete Now. And for $3 a month, these folks will remove your information from hundreds of sources. And make sure you're registered with the direct marketing do not call and do not mail lists. Talk about how to put yourself on the do not mail pre-approved credit card offers list. And they'll ask to remove you from a number of other national databases. It's only $3 a month. Does this sound like a useful thing? Is it even possible? Can you actually get yourself off of some of these lists?
And how much do we trust this company?
I don't.
That's a good point, Steve. How much do we trust this company? The big thing is so much of this stuff comes from overseas.
Yeah, I mean, what are they going to do? They're going to pay more attention to this other company's request or to somebody overseas and say, you must take them off? Yeah, right.
Right. The big thing is they call up and get the do not mail list, and then they spam it. And who's going to stop them? Because they're... it's pretty interesting. If you have a comment on that or a suggestion about it, give us a call. But in the meantime, we're going to go to the phones, and our first caller is Ron from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Ron. What's your question?
I got an Internet Explorer 6.0. I'm getting a malware that populates Internet Explorer with about 15 to 20 windows, and it comes up as WinFixer.
Oh,
I went out and did a search on the Internet, and they say it's like a variant of the Vundo virus, but I run that tool, and it says no virus is found.
Now, what are you using for antivirus software?
I'm running on McAfee Enterprise 7.1.
All right, and it could, you know, some of these, and this is where, you know, they get to this fine line where they're like a virus, but really they're a Trojan or a spyware.
And if it's a variant of some virus, yeah, then that other virus's tool may not remove it.
The other one that you might want to try is CW Shredder.
It's well, that specifically does the cool web search toolbars.
But that one, along with, and I don't know how proficient you're with this, playing around with things get loaded, but there's a program called Hijack This. And Hijack This will literally go in and look for things that are getting started. And if you know that particular WinFixer is getting started with Hijack This, it'll find it and try to remove it. Otherwise, and this is where I was getting on, might as well go out on the rant right now. A lot of there's a number of places that are offering these specials that for $50 they'll clean out your machine of all viruses and spyware for a low $49.95. Well, folks, I wish it was that easy. Most machines, yeah, you can clean them out, and we tell folks right up front. You know, usually it takes X amount of time. Here's what the charge is going to be to do it. Usually. Now, I just had a client, and he got a little upset. But, you know, don't shoot the messenger. He had a new variant of this one Trojan. And this is one that you might have, too. Is it buries itself in there. But it doesn't go by the legit name. It's a program that can sit in the registry, and all it does is generate other names. So you're killing those other names, but the minute you reboot, it creates two more other names. And until you get to that core program that's causing the issue, you know, you're not going to get it fixed. But going back to your problem on this WinFixer, the CWO Shredder, the Hijack This are simple ones that we can tell you to, you know, try to use those. But if you're getting pop-ups, the other easiest way to get rid of them and not ever see them again, and that might be disappointing to some folks, is move over to Firefox.
All right, I appreciate your input.
Yeah, the
there's
Firefox.
Also the fact that if it may well be that you've got one of those viruses that has disabled McAfee, let me suggest that you run the Security Tango. We might as well get it out of the way first.
Yep.
SecurityTango.com. Go there, click on the Let's Dance button, and follow the instructions step by step by step. Don't skip any, and don't take shortcuts.
And I also want to mention, along with Dave's rant, especially considering this WinFixer, there's a lot of programs that claim to be anti-spyware,
yeah,
but in fact they are spyware, and this WinFixer is one of them. They have a really nice, slick website on how to download this program to clean off spyware, but it itself is spyware.
And, you know, I
posted a link on how to remove WinFixer, but there's, you know, 27 steps and 15 different files you have to delete.
But these folks get all upset because, you know, well, you said you could do it for this. Yeah, under normal circumstances.
Right.
There's going to be other times that...
Yeah, we generally tell our PC customers it's a minimum of 2 hours of labor and a minimum of 3 days scanning your computer. You scan with Adware, you come back, you scan it again, you come back. Because some of them are so insidious, you just can't remove them that easily.
Yeah. Right. And all the stuff in the Security Tango we know to be good.
Yes, that'll help them. Now, if it's not going to solve their problem, then they have to bring it into somebody.
Absolutely.
They can literally do this hunting, and it can take some time. So don't get upset, folks, if you sit there and say, well, you know, like Steve said, you know, it's going to take so long, even in my shop. We'll give you an estimate, but that's all it is an mm-hmm. estimate.
Right.
Don't hold my feet to the fire on that because
right.
it can take a lot longer.
All right. Our next caller is Linda from Greece. Welcome, Linda. Linda, are you there?
Oh, you skipped one.
I'm here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. Well, hi, Linda. What's your question?
Okay, I got a question for Steve.
Yes.
Okay, I'm using iTunes, and I've just started using iTunes. I got rid of all the other stuff. Okay, I was told, I went to the Apple store yesterday, went through the whole class on how to do it, so I went home and did it. Putting CDs on iTunes. I put them on there. Now I want to put them in folders. Some of them will go in there. Some of them has that little circle, like the no smoking sign. Why can't I move those into my folders?
Oh, we had this answer a couple of weeks ago. Sale will probably call in and let us know. There's sometimes you can't drag specific tunes from a folder to a folder. You have to drag them from your main library. Let me see if I can find that answer.
Yeah, I was doing it from my main library. I'm making different folders. I was doing it from my main library, but it wouldn't let me do it.
Some will go, but some won't. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember what he was talking about at one point was you have to put it in manual as opposed to automatic mode.
Are you trying to create folders on your iTunes or folders on your iPod?
On my iTunes. Okay. I'm dragging it manually, one by one. Some will go in and some has that little symbol saying, you know, like, you know, you can't do this.
Yeah, offhand, I don't remember the answer to that. Hopefully, Sal's listening and can call in. We'll also check back on our records and see what Sal answered that last time because we had that question two or three weeks ago.
We'll get back to you on that one, Linda. I'm sorry we don't have an instant answer for you.
Most of the time, you don't need to bother with folders. You could just browse by artist or browse by album,
right.
And so you don't have to create extra folders for it.
Right. Our next caller is Julie from, is that Canisius?
Hello.
Hi.
My computer just keeps powering itself off. It's been doing it over the last week.
Give us a little background. What type of machine?
Okay. It's a laptop computer. I just started school, and I'm logging into their system, which is called Blackboard. And I did download some stuff, and I loaded, like, from the Blackboard, but I had to have PowerPoint to be able to do that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I bought that software through a company in Rochester and had it loaded onto my computer. And ever since then, it seems like that's when it started. But it mostly does it when I'm in Norton. It doesn't do it while I'm in another program. But if I'm in Norton and I'm trying to clean up the machine, it powers off, which makes me think it's like a virus.
Well, I'll tell you what, we got to take a break.
Yeah, okay. But hang on, Julie.
Yeah,
don't hang up. We'll come back. When we come back, we're going to talk to Julie, and we're going to talk about a very large company building a free wireless network. When we come back with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Dan Cole, Nick Francesco, all of you on the greatest computer show, and Julie, of course, on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Dan Cole.
And this is Soundbites. Now, we told you we'd talk about a free Wi-Fi network out there, first, we've got both Julie and an answer for Linda. So we'll start with the Linda answer.
Answer for Linda. When you create folders in iTunes, you can't put songs into the folder. You put playlists into the folder. So you create a playlist that you drag your songs into, and then a folder can have playlists in it. So you create a playlist to put your songs in, and you create a folder to put your playlists in.
Yeah, that's the answer. And Julie, back to you. Are you there?
I am.
Excellent.
All right, Julie, a couple things here.
Okay.
One, you said this is a relatively new laptop?
No, I've had it for just a year and a couple months.
And have you checked within the control panel, there's the energy saving settings?
Yep, they had me run through some of that, I think.
And they spin the hard drive down when it's plugged in?
When you say it goes off, it really shuts right off. Lights go off and everything.
You just can't hit a key and turn it back on?
Yep, and then I have to leave it for a couple hours and come back to it.
That's overheating.
There you go.
Yeah, that's overheating.
Do you have cats?
Or other pets?
I do.
Yeah, okay. It may well be that the system, it sounds like the system is overheating.
Yeah.
And it may well be that it's overheating because you've got animal hair caught in the fans. They're not spinning.
That's why I want to know whether it was a new machine or
right.
not. Because that thing, like Steve and I were talking offline, that thing could be packed solid with dirt, dust, and everything else.
So it may well be that the thing is just full of junk and it needs to have something done with it. Your best bet is to take it one of the local vendors like Dave or Steve and have them clean it out. That's really your best bet at this point.
Yeah, depending on how caked everything is, if it's been a really long time, you can sometimes take a vacuum cleaner to the fan vent and suck some of the dust out.
Okay.
Yeah, you can certainly start with that and try it, but it does sound like an overheating problem. If it shuts itself down at a regular interval and you have to wait a while before you can turn it on again, that's almost always overheating.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, I hate to sound elusive, but sometimes it does turn off and sometimes it doesn't. It's mostly when I'm, like, in a program trying to clean up, like Norton or Stinger.
Sure, because that's using the hard drive more. It's using the processor more.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it would overheat, yeah. No question.
Then just sitting there idle.
All right, well, I'm glad you guys had the answer. I was, I didn't want to send it down to Houston because they have so much problems.
Yeah, no kidding. But that may be it. Give that a try or bring it to a local dealer to have them check it out, and we'll see what happens.
All righty. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Dan Cole, me, Nick Francesco. We've got John and Jim and Augie on the line. We told you we'd be talking about a free Wi-Fi network. Microsoft is reorganizing. We've got all kinds of interesting things to talk about. So come back pretty soon, right after the break, and we'll talk about, news. Is it news next? Yeah, it's going to be news, actually. And then we'll be back with the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, on 1180 WHAM.
Coach Chuck. Online, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray. On News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Dan Cole.
And this is Soundbites. Back to the phones in just a couple of minutes. But first, I did want to mention we talked about a free wireless network that's going up. Google is building a free Wi-Fi network. Theoretically, it would allow them to go nationwide if they want to. Right now, it's just a little test. It's in the Airborne Gymnastics in Santa Clara, California, and CAPS, a Mountain View, California restaurant. A Google spokes individual said Google currently has no plans to announce about moving into this space. Is that weasel talk or what?
Oh, really?
They have no plans to announce it.
But well, they slid it out anyways.
Well, that's one of the things about Google is that they require their employees to not work. And to do research and play and figure out some cool next thing.
Right, like one day a week they get to play on something that isn't related to their job. I think that is so great.
So this is probably someone, I wonder if I can do this wireless network. Let's try that for a while.
Yep.
Hey.
Yep. And Microsoft has reorganized.
Again?
Yes.
That's from last week.
Yes. They've announced a new reorganization. They've announced they're reorganizing into two groups, the Windows group. The Windows group, the applications group, and the gaming and entertainment group. And MSN is the king of the hill now. They're taking on everybody. They want to take on Google and Yahoo and AOL
ICQ
and everybody. And it's all about MSN now. Now, this makes a lot of sense on the surface. The problem is it adds at least one more level of management to an organization that's already got trouble reacting to the market quickly enough. Do we all think this will work, or are they just rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic?
Yeah, because...
A little of each.
One or the other, sure. Thank you.
Hello, where are they going to go? And they say they're reorganizing these departments. Like they weren't separate departments already?
Well, that's been the point, people
are going to work on MSN stuff?
Well, that's been one of the points of contention for, 20 years now, is that the application software and the operating system software are so closely tied together that Windows programs can do things, Microsoft's own Windows programs can do things that other companies' Windows programs can't, like the print button.
Right.
You choose print in a window in a Microsoft program, and it prints. In every other program, you choose the print button, and it asks you how many you want to print.
Well, you can actually buy that capability from Microsoft.
Right, but because the applications are so tied to the OS, they're holding back secrets.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, it's an interesting question, and we'll keep you apprised of how this seems to go. There are rumors that this is the beginning of a split-up. They're going to split it into three separate companies. I really don't see that happening. But I've been wrong before. Twice, I think.
Wholly owned independent subsidiaries of Bill Gates, Inc.
Right.
No way. Jim.
So, but we'll see. It's an interesting take. We'll see in the future if this actually makes them more or less agile. Before we go back to the phones, I do want to welcome the person who's listening to us in the Netherlands. There's somebody on the audio stream listening in the Netherlands. How are you? Feel free not to call in on the toll.
That
would be actually kind of cool to talk to somebody from the Netherlands. Call us up.
What's the 800 number?
The numbers in general, 222-1180 if you're in the 585 area code. If you're outside the 585 area code, say in the Netherlands, it's 800-295-1180. And, of course, if you're a Verizon Wireless customer, it's a free call on Star 1180. Our next caller is John, who has a boot-up problem in Webster, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question about?
Hi, how are you today? I love
Good.
Your show.
Thanks.
Listen, when I reboot my PC, it starts to go through the, the Windows XP logo comes up, and the blue bar goes across, and then it comes to a screen, and it wants me to either go into safe mode or not, or wants me to boot into the last known successful boot.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter which one I pick. Mm-hmm. It goes right back into that same screen again. So I can't get past that. It's looping back into the same.
What,
I'm not sure where
what happened just before this started to happen?
We had a power outage, I believe.
Yeah, some file deep in the Windows operating system is severely corrupted.
Yeah, you could tend to want, it might have also destroyed part of your hard drive with bad sectors.
That a piece of the Windows operating system happened to be living on.
Exactly. And I'm sorry to say, John, but the only thing you can do there, well, one thing you could do is try reinstalling Windows XP over Windows XP. Put the original CD in. Now, you're going to see the first screen where it says install Windows. You say yes to that. And on that same screen, there's also a repair for the repair console. You don't want to do that. So if you put the original CD in, say install, and then you'll have to do the F8 for the agreement. Now you're going to get to another screen after it finds all the hardware. One of the selections there is install or repair. At that point, you pick repair. And what it'll do is install Windows XP over XP. Give that a shot. Otherwise, you're going to have to take it into...
And you have
so
a,
it's
you
install,
have a
install on the first screen, repair on the next time he gets the choice.
The
he'll see repair two times. One is the first time is for the repair console. You don't want that.
And you have a tip on that.
Exactly,
on
but Dave's since
tips.
His machine's down, he can't get to the tip.
Right, exactly.
Well, you use your other internet computer.
Yeah, right. So give that a try, John. Let us know what happens.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much. Our next caller is Jim from Rochester, New York. What's your question, Jim?
Hey, I'm trying to remove some programs, and I get a screen that says, well, it's a little box that pops up. It says, cannot find the file install.log.
Mm-hmm. You probably deleted the folder accidentally.
Well, some programs don't actually create an install.log file. Are you trying to do these from the add remove programs menu?
Yeah.
What is the program you're trying to remove?
I believe one was called stamps.com.
Yeah, see, here's the deal. When Microsoft created Windows, they created a standard way of installing software. It puts certain things in certain places and creates an install log so that when you go to add remove programs, add remove programs looks for that install log to figure out what to remove. A lot of programs don't follow the format correctly, so you can't remove them via add remove programs. Usually those come with their own add remove program, or you're just stuck, delete the folder and hope for the best.
Sometimes.
LavaSoft now has it. Well, they've had it out for a while. Is another one of their products along with Adaware. It's called RegHance. And what you can do is with this program, look for, say, you start it up and you can put in a search criteria. So say you're trying to get rid of the stamps.com. You can put in stamps.com, have it do a search, and remove all the registry entries for that.
But you
want
to do that after you've removed the program.
Yeah. A lot of times if you go to the start menu for that specific program, there'll be an uninstall in that program's folder.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
If there's not, then you're a little out of luck. You can also sometimes rerun the install program again, and there'll be an option for an uninstall in the installer itself.
Give that a try and let us know what happens. Thanks, Jim. Our next caller, Augie from West Henrietta, New York. Welcome, Augie.
Thank you very much. Good morning, guys. Thank you very much. I had a problem with our computer about a month ago where I did a manual update on McAfee. It's actually really not the antivirus, but actually the firewall is what's been acting up. I did a manual update. I went through, signed on, password, the whole shebang, and it asked me to reboot my computer. The minute I rebooted my computer, trying to open up Internet Explorer, it just didn't happen. You'd get the little hourglass and you'd click on Internet Explorer. If you actually went to your task manager showed that it was actually trying to open it. You know, for example, it shows like 17K when it's running instead of only showing 7 or 8K.
Mm-hmm.
Just couldn't get to open it fully. And when you finally did open it and you started shutting your computer down, you'd have to go through window after window of trying to close Internet Explorer.
Yeah, there are those of us who think, of course, that that's a bonus, not a problem. However, what's likely happened is that somewhere in the update of the firewall, it's blocked Internet Explorer from getting to the Internet.
You got
to
check the settings in your firewall of McAfee.
Right, we actually ended up, it got to be so frustrating, we actually fully deleted McAfee firewall and are using the firewall and antivirus services provided through Frontier's DSL service.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Which actually is McAfee.
Yeah.
Really?
No. Zone Alarm.
Zone Alarm.
Yeah,
right.
Zone Alarm exactly. is the other firewall.
You know, I like that one better anyways.
I'm one of these people, I don't like changing habits. So I was used to McAfee. I also liked what McAfee provided was an additional sign-on with a password so that my preteen kids I know could get on the Internet.
Right.
We tried even going through their tech support, and they couldn't figure out what was going on. At all. I mean, they had
it's got to be a glitch somewhere in the software itself, because you should be able to tell that any program can go through.
Right. What we finally end up doing is completely delete. We deleted the programs, tried to delete Security Center, which is like that master console.
Right.
Finally had to fully delete, found out how to delete that completely. Is it worth trying to reinstall it again, or you think there's...
No, you're probably going to run into the same issue.
Yeah, there are some great features, but if you're having that kind of trouble and they can't solve it, there's got to be something unique in your system that's causing it to happen.
Only from the update. It was fine up until the update, till a month ago.
Right. You might want to wait and talk to them about this and see if, in fact, the next update, when it comes out, solves the problem.
Okay.
And then go to that
one. It certainly can't hurt, because you're right. There are some nice features in the McAfee firewall.
Mm-hmm. Is there anyone you like better than the other? I mean,
like Zone Alarm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But, again, it doesn't give you that feature of blocking people from the Internet without the password.
And it's somewhat more cumbersome to use, I've noticed. If you want to manage little things like Frontier allows you. I know it's not a true test. To test your internet connection.
Right.
Well, Zone Alarm, I think I may have solved the issues on it by allowing pop-ups under that website. But boy, you'd do your finished, and you wouldn't show you your results.
Right, because they come up in a pop-up, and if you don't tell it to let that site do pop-ups, it blocks the pop-up. Okay. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, it's a little more. It's like putting on a wet girdle, you know.
Yeah, exactly. But thank you for the image, Augie.
Yeah, you know, it's like just really hard to get through, but it does seem to do its job. All right, so
thanks,
Augie. Next update. Thank you, guys.
Yep. Bye bye. Okay. Bye bye.
And that's one of the reasons a lot of people don't like firewalls is because the first time you install it, they're a little annoying. Yeah, you want Internet Explorer to get to the website. Well, actually, no, but Firefox can get to the website.
Right. And that's we preach don't use Internet Explorer unless you come to a site where you absolutely have to use Internet Explorer. I get that, you're right. You can be a creature of habit, and you prefer what you prefer, and that makes sense to me. But I'll tell you what, I like Zone Alarm. I like what it does. McAfee does have the feature of locking you out of the Internet if you want to get locked out. So that's kind of nice. When we come back from this next break, we're going to talk a little bit about the iPod Nanos. They're proving to be a little less durable than we'd all hoped. Give us a call. Let us know how your iPod is working when we come back. With Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Dan Cole, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you on the greatest computer show in the known universe. And you all know that sound bites on 1180 WHAM.
Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Dan Cole.
And this is Soundbites. Give us a call and join in the fun. 222-1180 outside the 585 area code 800-295-1180 or star 1180 on a Verizon wireless phone. Now, we said we were going to talk a little bit before we go back to the phones. We were going to talk about the iPod Nano. And join in if you've got one. We'd like to know how your iPod is doing. Problems seem to be surfacing with the screen. There are a lot of complaints out on the net about screens getting scratched, cracked, or just failing. Is this actually a problem with a Nano, or is it just that so many more people have bought them that they're starting to have a problem, or do the same things happen with other iPods? What's the deal?
Pretty much the same things have happened with all the iPods. In fact, your cellular phone, you got a problem on your cell phone.
Oh, my cellular phone. And of course, they won't fix it because they say it's not an actual defect of the phone itself,
which is accidental customer abuse.
Yeah. But it was that way the day I got. Never mind. Go ahead.
But it's it has been an issue.
I don't want to talk about my phone.
The iPods have the great silver back on it that picks up fingerprints and scratches really easy. And it's actually, you know, some of the conspiracists among us are saying Apple did that intentionally to spur third-party markets. So now there's a huge market. 1,000 companies have popped up making iPod accessories, and hundreds of them are skins, protective covers, either rubber skins or leather skins or some sort of protective skin to protect.
In multiple colors and textures
and
so you can fit your mood.
Yep. Neck lanyards and armbands and wristbands and all kinds of things to help
protect
your screen.
The good news is if you have a friend with an iPod, you never run out of Christmas presents.
Yep, there's always whatever the next new toy is,
right.
Next new accessory. But it has been an issue in the past, and I almost think it might become more of an issue on the Nano because it's so small. You're more likely to stick it in your pocket. In fact, that was the big thing when Jobs introduced it. He pulled it out of the watch pocket on his jeans,
right.
Which apparently he had to find special jeans with a watch pocket that deep.
It's hard now. It's hard to find. Yep. I carry a pocket watch. I'm very low tech. I have a pocket watch, and it's tougher to find jeans with a watch pocket nowadays.
One thing I noticed they're also doing, you're talking about accessories, they're now this other company, I think it's here in Rochester, will now do custom earpieces.
Yeah.
They'll mold into it, and it's great for, and they are advertising this for the motorcyclists, if they want to get one custom earpiece, because you don't want something protruding out when you're wearing a helmet.
Well, we need to talk to those people.
Yeah. And you can sit there and put it in and plug it into your iPod so you can be riding along and listening to your iPod, of course, in one ear only, but they'll do the custom earpiece, and so it molds and it's more comfortable. Yeah.
How cool is that?
One of the really cool things
is that one of those.
Ars Technica, which is a pretty technical website for the PC enthusiast, they say, that's probably a little understated, they did a stress test and an autopsy on the Nano.
Yeah.
And they almost couldn't break it. Yeah, it was scratched. Yeah, the screen cracked. But it still played.
Right.
Yeah, they drove over it with a car, threw it out of a car window doing 50 miles an hour, dropped it from 20 feet. It still played just fine.
It still played.
In fact, they said when they have pictures on their website getting ready to drive over it with a car. When they finally did decide that we can't break this, let's take it apart and see what's inside. It had been so abused, by especially being driven over by a car, they couldn't figure out how to get it apart, so they just started prying and prying and prying and finally snapped it apart.
But yeah, it's too bad. I would have liked to hear from some of you folks about how your iPod makes you or doesn't make you particularly happy. But instead, we'll go to the phones and we'll talk to Virginia in Batavia, New York. Welcome, Virginia. What's your question?
Hi. I have a problem. I tried to install a printer on the computer, and which I've done before, and it didn't seem like any big deal. Well, I installed the printer. I had to go to the internet site and get the drivers because I did not have the disk with the printer.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like everything downloaded, and it said, you know, complete. And I looked away, and then the next thing I got was a black screen with white printing. In any event, I went through everything. The one predominant thing I noticed was that when I tried to run a scan disk, it would only go up to 15%, and then it just would not run anymore.
What version of Windows are you running?
98.
Okay. With the scan disk and defrag, it's a known issue. What you've got to do if you want to do those two features is start up Windows and go into safe mode.
Did that.
And run them from safe mode.
Well,
yeah, but that's the problem with ScanDisk is the reason it only gets up to 15% is because something's running in the background. Every time that thing touches the hard drive, you know, loads a piece of a file or looks for something or whatever it does, ScanDisk has to restart, so it'll never get past 15%. I'm more concerned about the new driver problem.
Yeah.
Well, but let me tell you, so I went through, I had a C prompt. And I went through in safe mode and whatever I could do with it, not knowing what I was doing. But I wrote everything down, and it would say error in file, and then it'd say yes or no. Do you wanna?
Now, did you run the scan disk in safe mode?
Yes.
And the defrag.
The defrag. I really can't. I can't do anything with the computer except it goes to the C prompt. And then I tried different things. Well, I took notes on this anyway. I guess when I got all said and done with the thing, it says memory manager not detected, and I saw this. It said creative. Is it B16 emulation driver?
Yeah, what it sounds like has happened, Virginia, is that you've got some of the basic files that help start Windows running damaged.
Yes, and I can't get Windows running again.
Yeah, at this point, your best bet is to take it to one of the local vendors. Dave and Steve both do work on PCs and write PC management or the Jesse Group, and have them take a look at it. The nice thing about taking it to a vendor is they can take the drive out, put it in another machine, and do diagnostics on it that can't be done in the machine it's in because the drive won't run. So that's your best bet at this point, and they may be able to reinstall Windows for you. The real problem that you're coming up with is twofold. One is it may be that the driver you downloaded wasn't for 98. Most drivers for new printers are not for 98.
This is an old printer that originally ran on... was 98.
Okay, well, then that's not the problem, but it does sound like something else, either something else happened coincidentally or the download did something bad.
They installed, successfully, and then away, and then it said something about too many files. Could I delete files?
Oh, and you did delete them?
No. Because I cannot get into Windows.
Yeah, it really does sound like your problem is going to have to be looked at by a reputable vendor. I'm sorry, Virginia. We have to take a break. Just back in a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Dan Cole, Nick Francesco. When we come back, making phone calls over the internet makes voice over IP the next big buzzword on Soundbites 1180 WHAM.
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The Choice 1 toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Dan Cole.
And this is Soundbites. Well, I told you we were going to talk about voice over IP, but that's less interesting, actually. eBay bought a company called Skype, and the confusion is, who cares? The more important question here is that Apple has just plugged 10 critical holes in OS X. What were they? How critical were they? And how long was there between the announcement and the fix? Steve?
Well, Apple routinely releases security updates.
When we say Apple, we're coming to you now, Steve.
Yeah.
Apple routinely releases security updates, so the 2005-0008 update came out. All of you should have received a notice of this update. In OS X System Preferences, there's a program called Software Update, and that's set to run every week and find out new updates from Apple. Basically, what happens is similar to Microsoft. When someone identifies a problem, they fix it and release a patch, although it seems to be Apple does it a little faster than Microsoft. And then on their website, they have details about what each of these patches are. And a lot of them were related to maliciously crafted images. So you can what you think, view an image on the internet, and there's code behind the image that can either make your computer crash or expose information. One of them was a... if you read an encrypted mail message, but you have an auto-reply... So when you get a message in and you send a message back out, hi, I'm on vacation, I'm not going to read your mail. By the way, don't do that.
Really?
Right.
It just bogs down the internet, and we don't care that you're on vacation.
Yeah, we really don't.
In fact, we hate that you're on vacation because we're not.
Right. Well, I get that all the time. I run a website called AskNick.com. That's AskNick.com. Thank you very much. And part of what I do is I send out Q&As and basically a little newsletter three times a week to the people who signed up, and then once a week on the Nick Light side to the people who signed up for free. And every time I send it out, now that's thousands of addresses, I get back, depending on the time of the year, I get back hundreds of, I'm out of the office. And I don't care. When I go on vacation, I don't want people to know that my office is empty and they could break in and no one would notice.
Yeah,
I don't know about you, but that's not something I want people to know.
Because, hello, you can do an easy search. I mean, that'd be wild for burglars and that.
And a lot of mailing list systems just automatically delete you from the list if they get a bounce error like that.
Right.
And then you're going to miss the information that that you wanted to get.
Right. So, I suppose internally that makes a certain amount of sense. Some companies actually have a policy when you go on vacation, you tell your coworkers you're on vacation, you do that by setting the thing. But the problem is that then goes out to the real world as well, and there's no way to differentiate the two. Well, there is. You can create a filter that does that for you, but people don't bother. I just don't do vacation things because I don't want people to know that if I say I'm out of the office and I'll be back, you know, October 1st. Oh man, the guy's on vacation. Let's go break into his house. I don't see that as there's nobody wins in that situation.
No, you lose and could lose quite a bit.
At any rate, if you are a user of 10.3.9 or 10.4.2 of the Mac OS X operating system, either on the desktop or the server,
right?
You really need this update, so you need to download it now. Go do that.
And make sure that your software update control panel or system preference is set to check automatically.
Exactly.
Which it is by default.
Right, unless you turned it off, you're good. All right, back to the phones. We have Stuart from Hilton, New York. Welcome, Stuart. What's your question?
Yes, this maybe it relates to what you just talked about. I have a G4 running Tiger on it, and I just bought the version of Norton that runs on it, and I had it check my disk, and 8 hours later, it came up with one virus on there, and maybe associated with a picture that was downloaded from one of the files you can choose a picture from.
Yeah.
This file was quarantined, and it's the name of it is classload.jar-11faa9ed.
Yeah, a jar file is a Java runtime program, and so consequently, you thought you were downloading a picture, and what you were downloading was a program.
Now, what could it have done?
Could have done 100 things. The problem is, a lot of these programs are just carriers. What happens is somebody writes a script and says, "Oh, here's the wrapper around a virus. I've done all the hard work. All you have to do is write the part that does the damage." So they send that out, and then 100,000 script kiddies download this thing and say, oh, I want to erase the guy's hard drive. Oh, I want to grab all his email addresses. Oh, I want to do something else. So they all pick something different. So even knowing the name of what the program is doesn't tell me anything. All it tells me is it's a script, a wrapper around whatever the other person wrote. Your best bet at this point is to make sure the system is completely 100% clean. That may entail taking it to a reputable vendor like the Jesse Group, and then making sure that the system is clean that way before you do much more work.
And one other thing you might want to do is go into your Norton under options.
Yeah.
Instead of quarantining it, which is the default.
Yes.
Go down to the bottom and say delete if you can't fix.
Yes, I can do that.
Yeah, you definitely, because if they're infested, you don't want them on your machine anyways. And what it was is quarantining them was in the hopes that if they fix it, that they might be able to get that back. Well, no, you really don't want to do that because then it's lurking around on your machine. Just get rid of it and tell the person that they're infested.
Stuart, you realize what you've done here.
What?
You have forever and a day taken away from Steve the ability to say, Macs don't get viruses.
Yes.
It's a Windows virus, and it couldn't have executed anyway. There still are no Mac viruses.
Very good. Very good. I know I spoke to Steve last week when I picked up a new memory chip, and I think he mentioned that you never have to worry about viruses with a Macintosh.
Well, you still have to worry about them. Yes. I mean, just because there aren't any today doesn't mean there aren't going to be any tomorrow. Keep running your antivirus software. And certainly, as I've said time and time again, being a good net citizen means that whenever you download files or get email, you should be checking it for viruses so that if you do send it on to somebody else, they won't get the virus. So I think that's the best thing to do. Our next caller, we have Angelo from Webster on the line. Welcome, Angelo. What's your question?
Hi, not a question, just a comment on the earlier caller regarding the printer. Mm-hmm. I experienced something similar on my daughter's computer in giving her one of my older printers because her printer wasn't working, used her cable, and only to find out it was a cable problem because luckily I had my cable that I switched after that didn't work when I knew my printer was working, and then it worked fine. So the printer might be working fine. It could be the cable that may be
That's an excellent thought.
If there's a pin crossed or you know something is short circuiting, it could easily make Windows say That's a technical term.
I didn't realize there was a technical term for that. You're right, Angelo. There are a couple of things that we all have to remember. Not every problem is a software problem. And not every problem is actually inside the computer. Particularly when you're talking about any sort of peripheral device, there's not just that device itself, but whatever the connecting medium is, and like a cable.
You might want to check the connections.
Yep.
Maybe, you know, and looking at it, you know, if she thought either or both ends came loose.
And that's
right. Moving around.
And that was one of the benefits of USB is it's hot swappable. You can unplug it and replug it.
Yeah.
But if you do that a lot, you can wear out the connector and cause short circuiting.
Well, how many times have you seen, particularly on a laptop, the Ethernet cable? Suddenly it just slides in and out without locking in that little click. Yeah, Steve's got one of those.
They snapped it.
The thing broke off or it just wore down. And every once in a while you need to check those things. I absolutely agree, particularly on the machines where you've got a parallel port connector and it's got those 25 little pins sticking out.
Mm-hmm.
And
easy for one of them to bend.
To bend. And, yeah. And if you just are a little bit not paying attention when you plug that thing in, it's a little hard to plug in. Everybody wiggles it, and it's not going to.
It's not good. But we see this a lot, and I'm sure Dave does too. In our service department, someone brings a machine and it works fine, and they take it home and it quits working because they plugged their printer back in, they plugged their scanner back in.
Right.
So first step of diagnostics: unplug everything you can and see if the problem goes away.
Right. Yep. Right. And the problem, particularly with printers, is that you've got two or three different cable configurations that all look the same on the outside.
Yep.
So you can buy, I need a printer cable. You can buy the wrong printer cable if you're not paying attention.
We had people that have Macs and PCs together, and someone should have got together in the industry and said, we're not going to use the same connector. The DB25 parallel connector on the back of a PC is the same-looking connector as the DB25 SCSI connector on the back of early Macintoshes.
Right, but they're completely different.
We had someone plug their parallel printer into a SCSI Mac.
That would be bad.
Well, fortunately, it only blew the printer. It didn't blow the computer.
Nice. And that's why a lot of people nowadays are connecting wirelessly, or the printer connects right up to Ethernet, so you can plug it into your router or your hub.
But then the Ethernet and telephone jacks look similar.
Right. At least they're different sizes.
Well,
so
if you need a hammer
to plug it in, you're in the wrong
Ethernet
one.
Ethernet will not go into a phone
jack. But phone will go into Ethernet.
Yeah, but
right,
no,
loosely,
but it,
though.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah, in fact, I'm looking at that now. I've got a 5-port router, and I'm looking at adding a little 8-port hub because we've got so many devices that all want, you know, I can plug them all in Ethernet. That's great. Now they'll all be behind the firewall. That's great, but I don't have enough plugs in the router itself. So by adding a dumb little hub, which is really all I need I can do that. But it's an interesting problem.
That was in the olden days of stereo equipment, too.
Yeah,
you have all those plug holes in the back, and this when you fill them up, you need a new stereo.
Oh man, I've plugged. And speaking of that, I plugged something in incorrectly. I DVD'd TiVo. It wasn't a TiVo, but I TiVo'd something, and then I wanted to copy it to tape, and this was perfectly legitimate because never mind. I won't go into the whole story, but I did this, and it was perfectly legitimate to do. And I went to copy the tape. I got the sound, but not the video. Now, at some point, now it's on my list, and when the heck am I going to get to it? But it's on my list now to go figure out what I miss, right? What I misplugged somewhere. Yeah. I get the sound and no video. Pork me off no end.
Or, you know what else it'll really tick you? is you hooked it up right, but you know how a lot of those plugs, they got to go in, and then you got to hear the snap?
You got to hear that
you
extra little
snap. You
look
at it and say, oh, yeah, that's it. And it didn't snap in all the way?
Yeah.
And then when the cat jumps on the TV again, it knocks a cable loose.
Yeah, it's the cats. It's the cat. Dogs still aren't completely housebroken yet. So they still get excited once in a while. So they're not in the house, but the cats are. The cats own the house. We just hang out. We're going to come back in just a couple of minutes, and when we do come back, we're going to talk about formatting your documents. Is that format important? The Commonwealth of Massachusetts thinks so. Join us after the break. Let us know what you think on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
It's the unofficial, unauthorized in computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Inrick.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Chris Settlemyer.
And notice we have changed.
Changing
of the guard. Chris Settlemyer is in for Dan Cole. Chris is taking over. We wore Dan out. I'm sorry. We wore the poor guy out. We're very...
He's a rookie, and he's just... You know.
He's a rookie. He's new. He did a great job, but we wore him out because we are, whatever we are. Before we get back to the phones, I want to talk a little bit about the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. It's not a state. It's a commonwealth. They've passed a law that as of January 1, 2007, it will use only non-proprietary document formats, and Microsoft is unhappy. Massachusetts has decided that the only way they can have assurance that their documents will be readable in 20 or 50 or 100 years is to use an open document format. The result may well be dumping Microsoft Office for OpenOffice.org. Is this a good idea or a gimmick?
I think it's a good idea, because who knows what's going to happen.
The big difference is Microsoft's document formats are proprietary. Yep. We don't know what's inside them. And we've already seen that very old versions of Windows can't read new programs.
Yeah.
And some of the new ones can't read the very, very old versions of documents that you've created.
And it could be from, like, carriage returns or anything else.
Sure.
And it can almost be worse than that. If you want to read someone's Word document, you have to buy Word, which is a $200 program.
Right, yeah. Right. That's what they would like you to do. On the other hand, there's a product called OpenOffice.org, at OpenOffice.org. That's somewhere on our list already.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a word processor and a spreadsheet and a presentation program. And the new version will also have a database. So
and how much does it cost?
It's all of Office. It's Word and Excel and PowerPoint and Access. And it is 100% free.
And one other feature, though, you forgot about? That I really like
what?
Is be able to take a document and then create a PDF.
Just by clicking a button?
You just click a button, and now you've got a PDF that you can sit there and send out, whether it's a form or whatever.
Right.
And most folks have, you know, Acrobat Reader on their machine, so even if they say, well, I don't have Word, send it as a PDF.
Right.
Everybody can get a PDF.
Well, and
for free.
The important thing is that the OpenOffice.org document format is open. It is a well-known format. Anyone can make a reader for it. Thousands of people have.
Yep.
So if you save things as OpenOffice format, Microsoft can't read them, but everybody else can. And the format is known, and the format goes along with the file. It's all XML, which is technical, but the point is it's basically a little zip file, and you unzip it, and one of the files that's in there is the specification on the rest of the document. So even if 100 years from now you find this document, you open it up, one of the files is going to say, here's how you read this, and that's what Massachusetts is looking at.
And one of the other features, and I forget the word processing, where, you know, the control X, the control C, those functions that are with most Word documents as far as cutting, pasting, and all that stuff are right there, too.
Yep.
And they stayed with that standard.
Yep. Yeah, if you run OpenOffice.org, I've said this before, you can run it, you can
keep it
on your system at the same time you have Office, doesn't interfere. It'll look a little different. It's like buying a new car. You still know how to drive, it's just that the radio is in a different place. It takes a couple of weeks when you buy a new car to get used to where all the controls are. The same thing is true of OpenOffice, but once you do, you can do everything you've always done.
Yeah.
I had an old girlfriend in college who wrecked my...
How old?
Yeah.
I don't want to know.
She wrecked my car. Had an accident in my car because she was fiddling with the radio knob.
Mm-hmm. Ernie Kovacs.
Yep, in a different
position. They think he died because he was driving his wife's car and was looking for the was fiddling around with the cigarette lighter. He was trying to light a cigar and it was in a different place and he looked down at the wrong moment and hit a tree. Yeah. So that won't generally happen with open office. You're not actually going to hit a tree, but you may, in fact, find that it takes a day or two to get used to the way it works. We're going to go back to the phones now, and we're going to talk to Dan. Dan, where are you calling from?
Rochester.
Rochester, New York. What's your question?
Okay, well, this week I downloaded the new version of McAfee Internet Suite because I was having problems browsing localhost. So I was in contact with McAfee. So, but now my spam killer, when I have spam killer installed, my Outlook won't open. When it starts to open, it comes up with this some kind of error happened and it has to close.
Now is that McAfee spam killer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and but it was strange because when I had the Internet Suite version 7, spam killer worked fine, but there was a problem with communicating with IIS. So, do you have any recommendations as far as a spam killer program?
Are you having a problem with Outlook or Outlook Express?
Regular Outlook.
Okay.
And previously, I had Norton Internet Suite on there, or Security Suite, whatever, Internet Security.
So you're saying Outlook?
Yes.
Yeah, as far as I know, Outlook, Spam Killer doesn't actually integrate with Outlook. It operates outside of it, so it shouldn't be bothering it. Now, you're saying the problem, though, is that you can't get to the Internet anymore with it? Outlook won't open, you get an error. What is the error message?
It says that Outlook experienced some kind of error, and it has to close. We apologize for any inconvenience.
It may be that some file inside of Outlook has been corrupted, and you can run the inbox repair tool. That will try to repair your Outlook database. It may be unrelated to the new version of Mac.
And have you looked for any updates to Outlook?
Right.
Unfortunately, without knowing the actual error, that's a problem. So I don't know quite what to tell you at this point because there's 50 different things that it could be, and without knowing the actual error message. So if you get that error message, call us back, write it down, call us back, or take it to a local vendor because there's not, without knowing the actual error message,
we're shooting
there's
in
not
the dark.
Much that we can do. We'd be all whistling in the dark. It's not a good idea. Our next caller is Ted from Churchville, New York. Welcome, Ted. What's your question?
Hi, thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I was running the Security Tango. And
good for you.
SpyBot, Search and Destroy.
Mm-hmm.
When I clicked on download updates, there were three.
Yeah.
Two of them loaded, but the
one data file didn't.
Yeah, detection rules and the immunization database.
And you get a bad checksum.
Bad checksums, right.
Yep. What you have to do there, and this is happening quite a bit lately, because of us.
Yeah.
We're just recommending it, and I mean, all my clients for a couple of years now, I've been telling them to use this product. What you have to do is when you get a bad checksum, and it's done trying, you'll notice up there on the top of the program, there's a down arrow and where it currently is downloading from. If you hit that down arrow, you can select a different site. And because it is getting hit so much for downloads and updating and everything else that keep the spyware off, some of these sites can get quite busy. So it's more or less a trial and error. With that one, still check, select a different site, whether it's in the U.S. or not, and try that until it actually downloads.
And the latest version of SpyBot will also randomly pick a download location to try to avoid this
There's
problem.
A couple here in the U.S. There's a number, a couple of them in Europe. So try those different ones other than the current one that failed, and I guarantee you it will work.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Our next caller, Juan from Penfield. Welcome, Juan. What's your question?
It's Warren, but that's okay.
It's what?
Warren.
Warren, excuse me.
That's okay.
My fault entirely. I have, it's very hard for me to hear over the voices in my head, and consequently, every once in a while, it gets away from me. I do apologize.
We have to sit next to him, too.
Yeah. I have to sit inside this head. You think you got scary? Okay, go ahead, Warren. Yeah. I apologize.
I just wanted to ask Dave. I got to bring my computer in to him to do some stuff because it's goofing up on me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got DSL a month ago, and I don't know if I disconnect that, Is it easy to connect back up? I mean,
oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just, you should just have a cable going from there. You got a network card in it, or did they do USB?
They did a US thing on the top.
All right, here's what you do is you take a little piece of tape,
mm-hmm.
and you write a number on it. And you, this way you can label that cord and then put the other matching number next to that slot, because if it's a particular USB port that you're using, you want to hook it back up to it. So you just put a little sticky tape right next to that port where you unplug it and label it, you know, DSL.
Okay, and then
yeah, I recommend that for a lot of folks. You know, they're leery about bringing their machine in and unhooking everything.
Yeah.
And well, just, you know, label, you know, like through numbers. Say the printer, if you're really confused and different printers want to be on certain USB ports once they're configured.
Yeah.
Put a matching number on them.
Okay, that sounds good.
Okay?
Yep, thank you very much.
All right, take it easy.
We've I should clearly have done that with the things coming out of my TiVo.
Yeah, well, yeah. See, that's the thing, though. I mean, nowadays, and it can get confusing, because if the, say you've got two printers, one dot matrix and one laser. And one you've got, say, because on the back of most machines nowadays, there's, say, 4 to 6 USB ports.
Right.
And if it's already set up for...
Plus a couple in the front that may or may not be connected.
Right. And if you've got, say, one printer on, say, USB DOT1 and the other's on 4... And you bring it back home and go to hook it up and you cross them, the printers might not always work. So that's why I always tell folks, do up a bunch of sticky tabs or tape and write the numbers on them. And just tape it on the back of the machine, where you unplug the mouse, where you unplug the keyboard. Because, again, USB keyboard and mice, folks get those confused. They
right.
don't look at the little diagrams and they'll cross them. They'll both fit.
Right.
No problem, folks.
A lot of PCs,
keyboard and mouse network.
A lot of PCs have started color coding the connectors on the keyboard
right,
and mouse
right,
and
right.
the computer. So the
right.
green one and the purple one.
I'll tell you what makes the real difference between amateurs and professionals. Professionals label everything.
Yeah.
It's very true. When I'm taking things apart, if there's two connectors that are similar, I'll label them because I don't want to be bothered anymore. I have this stuff running from my router. When I follow our advice, I know that's shocking. I follow our advice. When there's a big thunderstorm coming, I unplug everything. Everything's labeled. I don't even have to worry. I know that this one goes to my Linux box, and this one goes to my Windows machine. This one goes to my daughter's machine. This one, so that when I hook back everything up again, I'm used to taking a look. If somebody says, "Oh, I can't get on the internet," I look at the router. Yep. You're on 3. You're always on 3. I know you're on 3, and I don't have to worry about which one is connected to which one.
You want to see something really scary? I mean, we'll take...
I've looked at you.
Thank you. When we go to take a laptop apart...
Yeah. Oh, those are terrible.
I mean, I literally take a piece of white paper and set it down,
mm-hmm.
and it looks like I'm playing tic-tac-toe.
Sure.
And as I'm taking out screws, I'll set a bunch of screws over in this corner and say, back of case.
Yep.
Because there's different sizes mm-hmm. and everything else. Or, you know, different areas.
I'll 114 screws and 27 sizes.
Easily. Yes. On an average laptop, you're taking out anywhere from 40 to 50 screws.
Oh, yeah.
To get to the motherboard.
Yeah. And people ask why laptops are so expensive to work on. It takes you 20 minutes to get into the thing.
Minimum. I mean, that's just to get the...
Right, and then
up.
You have to be so careful prying the case up. Yeah.
Yep. We use little button holders to store the screws in, little
sure.
lids, egg crates.
Yes.
Yeah, we got those too. Yep. But when I'm working on a machine, quite often, you know, I get this whole area cleared because I don't want anything around it.
Right.
I just turn the paper over and put it there. If it's going to be longer, then I got these little buckets and I label them there.
I don't know if I should tell this story or not. We sent a customer's laptop. I'm going to, though. We sent a customer's laptop.
All of a sudden, people are listening all over the county.
We sent a customer's laptop off to Apple for repair, you know, like a lot of companies, they do warranty dispatch repair. And laptop came back, and we gave it to the customer, and he comes back a little while that this isn't my laptop. We sent out a 14-inch, and a 12-inch came back.
Yeah.
So
shrunk in shipping.
Right. What was interesting, the 14-inch was 700 megahertz, but the 12-inch was 900 megahertz, so we got a better computer with a smaller monitor.
Yeah.
But it had his serial number on it, so we verified the serial numbers are right. So what must have happened is that in Texas, wherever they're repairing these computers, they had a 12-inch and a 14-inch next to each other on the bench and mixed some of the parts up.
Yep. That happens. It happens.
It's the first time in 12 years we've seen it happen, though.
But that sort of thing can happen. Yeah. Yeah. They made good, though.
They made good, yeah.
That's
they
what counts. They made good. That's the. There's a good ending to that story.
Yep. Yeah. They found his computer, sent it to us, and then we sent the old one back. And
right. So everybody was happy. It was all good. But that can happen, and that's why you need to, what they must have had, you know, a new tech. He thought, I don't need the label. I know what I'm doing. Now he knows the label.
But they probably had the paperwork forms right next to each other, and
they got crossed.
They got crossed
somehow. Yep. Absolutely, I've seen it happen. Yep. That's why you label everything. Mm. Sticky notes on things.
Oh yeah,
everything gets written down.
We tag everything.
Exactly, it's the way it's got to be done. Our next caller, Mark from Greece, New York. Welcome, Mark. What's your question?
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Peachy. How are you?
Oh well, I got a question for you about SpyBot.
Okay.
I run it, and I get two things that come up all the time, and I don't know what to do with them. One's related to Windows Firewall, and the other's related to antivirus.
And what?
It's something about disable.
Do you have the actual message?
I don't have the actual message, but it comes up every time.
The problem here, Mark, is that without the actual error message, I don't know if it's telling you the firewall is working, isn't working, has a problem, is a fake. The same thing with the antivirus.
Well, if you're using Microsoft's firewall
under
Windows XP, turn it off.
It's off, and I'm running McAfee, but it still comes up as a disable. And if I check it and have it run like that, it turns it back on, and then there's two firewalls running.
All right, what you got to do is go into the control panel, and you'll see a icon for the firewall. If you click on that, you will then see a little checkbox below, because you'll have on, monitor, or off. You turn the off, and below that, there's an advanced button. You can click on that, and it'll open up my window, and you can check a little box that says, leave me alone. I'm taking care of this. I'll monitor it. Forget it, Microsoft.
Okay.
And it will stop bothering you about that.
Okay. And the one with the antivirus says Windows also.
Same thing.
Okay.
What happens is Microsoft really wants to be the antivirus and firewall in your system and will continue to nag you unless you specifically tell them to cut it out.
Great.
So you need to do that.
Okay. Thank you for your answer. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about dual-core processors and servers, absolutely. On desktops, probably. But in laptops? Join us with your opinions on this when we come back with Dave and Steve and Chris and Nick on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Wham! Computer talk that you can understand. Now back to Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Chris Settlemyer.
And this is Soundbites. I said when we were coming back, we were going to talk a little bit about dual-core processors before we get back to the phone. Dual-core means one processor, one CPU in your system, really works like two of them in the same machine. You get twice the processing power. We all want that for our servers. We'd all like that for our desktops. But Intel now wants to put it in our laptops. Don't we worry about heat and about power consumption?
That's going to be the big fight. The heat, I think they can handle that. But what's going to be the big battle for them is the power consumption, because that's ongoing. I mean, with laptops, you know, they can't build a long enough battery for a laptop.
Yeah.
The big problem is they can't make the processors any faster. We used to
every
18 months they double the clock speed, but now in the last 2 years we've gone from 3.0 to 3.2.
Well, they're working on it, but that's what I said. Right now, the new batch of processors aren't due out until next year, so that's why they're trying to come up with this dual processing of the current chip.
Right, the clock speeds aren't getting that much higher. They're getting more efficient internally.
They do say it's only going to be about 30 watts, and they do say that it's going to be about 2 gigahertz, which is similar to today's big Pentium 2s, but you now got two processors in there. Here's the big thing, though. You have to have a program that deals with dual processors.
Well, that's the other issue. Yeah, you can be all dressed up and no place to go.
Windows will do that. A lot of the software that you buy for Windows won't. If you're running Linux, everything is dual processor. But in terms of, and of course, this doesn't yet apply to the Macs because they're not yet Intel-based.
Well, IBM announced dual-core PowerPC chips, too, so we might see some of those before, you know, the middle of next year when the Intel ones come out.
And they are nice because you can keep, you know, everybody wants, the more processors you have and the more you can split stuff between the processors or among the processors, the faster things happen. But you don't have a lot of real estate in a notebook. So combining two processors into one chip is a good idea. We'll keep you informed of this as time goes on, and we'll see what the Intel said, that more than 200 notebooks are already being designed around this chipset. So
yeah, maybe that's one thing we should explain a little more to folks, though, is this dual, what it actually does for them, what it means to them. I mean, you and I and Steve know exactly, but basically, it's just doubling your, I like to think of it as a desktop. And it's like, give me two desktops to run more programs faster and more efficient. Because right now you might load, say, a program and it'll take some time to load. And then do it.
Right.
And then it moves along. But this is saying with the dual, you'll be able to do multiple programs just as fast, if not faster.
Right. Exactly.
And
exactly.
Which a lot of folks want to be able to do.
All right, we're going to go back to the phones. We're going to talk to Tom from Hilton, New York. Welcome, Tom. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Listen, I'm kind of like the family PC repair guy.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
And I guess it does have its disadvantages. But, I run into a lot of these browser hijackers that if you don't have spyware on them before you get this browser hijacker, it's almost impossible to get rid of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, what he's talking about are those programs that go in and change your home page
to auto blank
something else, to some other place, right?
Exactly. And, I mean, once you've got this, how do you get rid of it? I mean, you know, you put
it's
the spyware
hard,
on.
It's a long, hard process to get rid of them. That's why you want to be proactive and do it ahead of time. Run the Security Tango.
Before you ever connect to the internet.
Before
on that
you
computer.
Ever connect to the internet. If you're the
exactly.
PC repair guy for your family,
you get
every time they get a new machine, before it even connects to the internet, download the latest version of everything onto a CD and run the Security Tango on that machine, and then make sure everything is in there and updated before it gets online. And be a hard nose about it. Tell your family and friends you're not going to support them if they aren't running this stuff, because it just takes up too much of your time and it's not worth it.
Now, do you have teenagers?
It runs the whole gamut. I've got, you know, my mother-in-law.
You're not talking about your immediate family. You're talking about your extended family, which is pretty much anybody who has your phone number.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know all about it.
Exactly.
Yeah, welcome to that club.
Get an unlisted number.
Yeah, that's first thing is you need to move to Hawaii and take me with you.
I'm thinking if I got a talk show on the weekends, that would take some time away from the weekends to do the repair jobs.
Right. Call me on Saturday. But yeah, the thing is, you really need to make sure all of them have run the Security Tango and that all of them are now running antivirus and everything else. And it's an ounce of prevention. You know, you really need to do it ahead of time. Once you've got those things, they can be a bear to get rid of.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
We had a really kind of neat one this week I hadn't seen before. There was an error message that kept popping up on the screen.
Wait, let's define this. It's neat because it wasn't your machine.
True.
Yeah, there you go. All right,
but,
go ahead.
But we hadn't seen it before. Sometimes you have to admire the ingenuity of these
people.
Yeah,
yeah.
So this error message kept popping up on the screen, and we couldn't get rid of it. And then I discovered it wasn't an error message. It was a picture of an error message that was set as the wallpaper.
Nice.
And the wallpaper command had been removed from display properties, so you couldn't change it back.
Oh, I like it. Listen, we got to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave, Steve, Chris. We have Landon and Bob on the line. I'm Nick. This is Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Answering your computer questions for over 15 years. It's Soundbites with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Chris Suttler.
And this is Soundbites. Before we go on at all, I'd like to talk just a little bit about what happens on our website at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. We do a weekly poll. This week's poll is about our audio archives and the podcast. Every week, Steve is kind enough to record the show and put it up so that you can download the archive at a later date. Stick it in your iPod if you want to. We have an iPod feed. You can do all of that. The question is, what do you want to see in that thing? Do you want higher quality, which makes for a larger file size, smaller quality, which is a smaller file size, which is lower quality, Or you don't care because either you don't use them or you just don't care. You just want them to keep on coming. So join us at soundbites.org and vote. Once you're done voting in the poll, underneath it you'll see a yellow box. You can click Give Us Your Opinion. That will take you to my website, asknick.com. That's asknick.com. Thank you. Very nicely done. And then you can enter an opinion, because I know you people are longer-winded than just click a button. Once you're done with that, come back to our website at soundbites.org and join us in the forums. There are a bunch of people to whose calls we did not get today, and a bunch of people who don't always call in. And it, particularly if you've got more stuff that you want to talk about than we can get to on the show. Join us in the forums where everybody answers your question and we have a good time. We are done for another week. Again, I apologize to all the folks to whom we did not get. Join us in the forums. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Settlemyer. I'm Nick Francesco. We're here every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's 1180 WHAM. We're going to be bringing you news, views, and stuff you can use every week. We'd like to have you folks call in next week and chit-chat with us. We generally have stuff that we'd like to hear your opinions about, not just your questions, your answers. But it's your chance to sound off and tell us what your opinions are on the questions we're asking and the things going on during the week. And I'm Nick Francesco, and for all the folks at WHAM, I want to thank you for listening to the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.